Our scripture today is from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. Jesus and his disciples were going up to Jerusalem. When they had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
So here we are, we've made it to another Lent. It's Palm Sunday again. And the theme of Lent that we have been following this year, the theme of Lent that underlies that season every year, is discipleship. If you have been coming regularly to these services, you know that each week we have been preaching on a particular practice of discipleship. Starting with intentional faith, formation, and growth. And then intentional generosity of our time, talents, and treasures as we bring the first few fruits of all that God has given us back to God.
It occurs to me, I don't know if I'm on or not. Now I am. And then, after intentional generosity, intentional leadership. How are you a leader boldly, in small ways and large, in making the realm of God visible in the world? Intentional small group community where you can experience prayer and study and service with other disciples. And then intentional mission, where we reach outside the walls of this community to serve in the wider world and to bring God's unconditional love there. Discovering discipleship. That's what Lent is all about. So that on Palm Sunday, we enter Holy Week with the disciples as they enter Jerusalem. We hear the loud hosannas. They are ringing in our ears from the hymns, from our litanies. We wave our palm branches. We hear the disciples in Luke cry out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and all over the earth. Blessed is the King who comes in peace." Or to bring peace. We see the bright colors of the cloaks that are thrown on the ground because that's what you do when a king comes into town. And we know that that small procession coming from one side of Jerusalem will be met by a larger procession, a mighty, more ostentatious procession of Pilate, the Roman governor who is coming into Jerusalem for the week of Passover. Passover, the celebration of freedom and deliverance of the people. Passover is the perfect time for all those revolutionaries to come out of the woodwork and to make trouble and to speak out against Rome. And so Pilate comes to keep the peace at all costs. At all costs, for that is what the Romans did. Blithely, it seems that our little band of disciples is singing and rejoicing and following Jesus into Jerusalem. And as I said to the kids, you know, we tend to think of the disciples as these 12 guys. But we know, of course, that there are women, some of them named Mary Magdalene, Mary, the other Mary, at one time it says Salome, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus. And think of all the others who had gathered together back that time. Maybe some who could only leave their boats and their fields at times to come and follow, to be with Jesus, but that came in and out, and perhaps they were all gathering now because they could come to Jerusalem together to celebrate the Passover. They follow Jesus right into the perfect storm of political and religious conflict that will be the not so peaceful end of him at the end of the week. Now, in Luke, as opposed to the other gospels that tell this story, this crowd is a little smaller and a little more intimate. And the other Gospels, we get the sense that the crowd is always growing and people are joining in as Jesus enters Jerusalem. But Luke talks about a more intimate crowd. These are not the gawkers who have heard of Jesus and have come to see if he'll do some magic healing thing. These are not the skeptics necessarily that have come to taunt, that by the end of the week may be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." This is the committed band of disciples who have been walking with Jesus for a while now, walking on the way with him. Men and women, children, these are the people who have been learning already a new way of walking: compassion, justice, generosity, joy, faith, commitment. So that even when that Pharisee speaks up, you know, Pharisee does not equal bad guy in the Gospels. Sometimes we get the sense that it does. But Pharisee was simply one of the leaders, the rulers, the elders in the religious community. And obviously this Pharisee was interested here coming in with these disciples. Perhaps he was frightened, like the little boy in the story. Jesus, shh. Don't be so loud. The people are out to get you. Don't let them know where you are. Be quiet. And Jesus says, it is not time to be quiet. And even if we were, the stones would cry out to praise God and to say, it is time for God's ways. So we watch these disciples walk into Jerusalem. And we know, we sense, that what is discipleship if it is not the practice, joyful and rarely easy, but the practice of learning to walk a new way in life? Do any of you remember when you learned to walk? Do any of you remember toddler memories of learning to walk? We all have memories of watching children or grandchildren or maybe nieces, nephews, friends, those little first tentative steps and falling down and getting up. But we don't remember, except for maybe in our muscle memory, what it's like to learn to walk. Some of us may have broken a leg or had some sort of injury where you had to learn to walk again. but something we don't think about. Recently, a new friend of mine came up and talked to me after a retreat I led, and we've been getting to know each other since that then. And she said to me, "I want to tell you this story." I said, "Okay," and smiling that pastoral look, you know. Tell me, what is it? She says, "I want to tell you about learning to walk in a new way." I said, "Okay." She said, "When I was a little kid, when I was a toddler, I learned to walk, and then about 4 or 5 months later, I had a severe foot injury, so severe that I had to crawl again before I could walk. So I kind of learned to walk twice." She said, "But you know, I was a baby, I was resilient, I just did it. And my parents never said, 'Oh no, be careful, you can't do that. Oh no. No, I just did it. And I ran and played and walked and danced and skipped just like any other kid.'" She laughed and she said, "It was probably prudent of me not to become a ballet dancer, but I was good. I've never thought about it until just recently." She said, "Just recently, I've had all of this hip pain." She goes, "And I really hate it. You know, it makes me feel so old. But I thought, I'm not going to let this stop me." And I kept exercising. And I thought, what's going on? I'm doing the same exercises I've always done. I've always been active. I ran. I walked. I did yoga, weightlifting. What's going on here? And then she said, "I realized that a few months back, I had been thinking about that injury I had as a kid, and I realized that I only walked, all my life, I've only walked kind of on the outside edges of my feet. Not totally, like, you know, with my ankles turned out, but kind of walking on the edges. And so now maybe it would be good, and I was doing yoga, I could learn to balance by walking on all four points of my feet. Walking straight forward, using my whole foot." Well, she said, the pain went on, even though I had that realization, so I went to the orthopedist to see what was going on. And as I tell you this story, I want to make sure that you know that this is not our friend Janet McCullough who's had pain. And if it was, of course, I would have gotten Janet's permission, but this is not Janet. This is someone else who's had hip pain. And she said, "I went to the orthopedist," and she said, "You're fine. You have a little strange anomaly that about 1.5 million other people have in the world, where your socket doesn't fit quite into your ball doesn't fit quite into your socket." She goes, "But just go to the physical therapist. They'll help you figure out what to do, how to use your muscles." "Well, should I stop trying to walk this new way?" my friend said to the orthopedist. Orthopedist said, No. "Keep going. That's good. Keep going." And then my friend said to me, "So I tell you this story because, not to just to let you know what's going on in my life, but it's made me wonder, does this have something to do with my spiritual journey? With my spiritual faith, walking along, following Jesus, walking with Jesus? Does this tell me something about the discomfort that can be there when we try to learn to walk a new way?" Well, my friend did go to the physical therapist, and she's getting better. But she and I continue to have conversations about that final question she asked me. The people that walked into Jerusalem with Jesus that day were certainly walking through some discomfort, knowing what might lie before them, what the opposition would be. And they did walk straight into extreme pain that week. However, as they kept walking, they walked straight into the greatest joy they could have ever experienced on Easter, on Pentecost. At the birth, and of course, births are always joyous and painful, at the birth of the new Christian community. Walking with Jesus, it runs the whole gamut of life, joy and sorrow, pain and healing, equilibrium, disequilibrium, certain uncertainty, security, faith, commitment. Where are you in the process? Where are you on your journey of walking with Jesus? Perhaps you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, most of your life, trying to follow, what does it mean to be this Christian person, this disciple of Christ? And perhaps something has spurred you in these series of sermons in Lent to learn to walk a new way in one of those areas of discipleship. Or perhaps you're totally new to this story. This is a brand new concept, walking with Jesus. But you're intrigued, even if a little uncertain. Maybe you want to set out on the journey. Let me tell you all a secret about this. You are not alone. You are not alone. Just as God walked step by step with Jesus into Jerusalem all the way to the cross, and even though Jesus felt abandoned, God was there, and God was there on Easter. You are not alone as you walk, as you maybe learn to walk a new way with Jesus in discipleship. And look around you. Look at all these folks. This is the community of God's people. This is one of the ways that you will know that you are not alone. As we walk together, step by step, sometimes painful, sometimes joyful, sometimes certain, sometimes not so. We are not alone. So hear the words of what the angels always say to us in the Bible, be not afraid. Keep walking. Amen.